Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, indeed. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, as we move forward to the summer.
The summer's going to be
exactly a month from now, right? Like June 20th or something.
I think it's the 21st.
21st, yeah. Whatever. It changes.
I think it's always been June 21st.
Okay, whatever.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well. That's nothing new, right?
Nope.
You know, there was a time I remember when I used to do the show early on, and I would start at 9, plus we were downtown, so I would leave at 7:30 in the morning. So
sounds fucking terrible.
So every morning I would say, damn, I'm tired, you know, and I would talk about it until I realized I'm talking about being tired every day. So I just had to cut it out and completely do away with
it. Hey, everyone's tired, so
yeah,
it's
I know. Nobody gets enough sleep, you know.
Leaving at 7:30 for something that starts at 9 just doesn't sound.
I know.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
It's an hour and a half drive downtown in the morning.
That's like a half hour for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. But at any rate, we are on Facebook Live today because we have a special guest in the studio. If you guys want to check a view of us, go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and we're right there. And today's going to be an awesome show, Danny, because we're going to be talking about dating and desirability.
Oh, hey.
And what people
you know,
look for
topic.
In people. Yeah, so it'll be awesome. You know, we'll have a lot to talk about. You're like all awake now.
Oh, yeah.
This is just right up your alley. Yeah. So, a couple things I wanted to bring up is.
Are you okay?
Oh, no. I'm just, you see, because I didn't write notes. I never write notes.
No, you never
so sometimes I forget. But this Monday is Memorial Day, right? So we have a three-day weekend.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be nice, right?
Oh, shit. This Sunday is Memorial
Day? Isn't
weekend?
It?
No, it's next weekend, isn't it?
No. It's this weekend.
Oh,
it's
my
Monday,
God.
This coming Monday. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Aren't you? Am I wrong?
Let's see. No, you're right. Monday is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, we have a three-day weekend coming up. You start to make me doubt my sanity there.
Wow, I can't believe it's already Memorial Day. That's like really crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. So we're looking forward to the summer. It's been actually today is very nice, but it's been kind of very strange weather here.
Yeah.
The past few weeks, mm-hmm. And everybody's like starting to complain as though anybody cares upstairs, right? What we care.
I mean,
what we complain about.
Right.
The people.
It has been really cold, though.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, at night. Last night was very cold.
Last night was cold.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that this was funny here because this guy, I guess, he's a state representative in Mississippi, okay? So he's a politician. So he was arrested for punching his wife after she took too long to undress for sex. So he wasn't patient enough for her to take off her clothes, so he punched her in the face. So, and this is a famous politician there.
He's obviously on something.
Well, he was drunk. They said he was very drunk and everything. But,
probably on steroids.
But his wife said he had done it before. I mean, she had to run into
another room. Wait, so this was his wife or a prostitute?
No, it's his wife.
Oh, well, shame on her for staying. So
yeah, right?
If he hit me once, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, she had to go and hide herself in another room and lock the door. And
he should be in jail.
Yeah, I know. He's.
But yet he's a politician. Look how that works. it's crazy.
But I mean, I just don't understand people at all. I mean, what the hell's going on in
people's
minds?
I feel like any man. Have you ever seen the show Big Little Lies?
No, never saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So good. Season 2 is coming out, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a character on there that beat the shit out of Nicole Kidman, and she stayed.
Uh-huh.
It's like they almost like fought because the makeup sex was like great. But I'm like, honey.
You gotta move on, right?
Yeah, we're gonna need to get it together here.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, because we are going to talk to a psychologist today. We can get into all these and stuff.
Right.
I have an inkling this man knows what he's talking about. You know, it seems pretty serious.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. So let's bring him on now. This is our guest, and we're joined by Dr. Seth Myers. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks.
Get close to the mic.
Thank you.
So we can hear you. Yeah, pull it towards you a little bit.
Great.
Welcome to the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So you're known as Dr. Seth?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so it's like a cool doctor name.
Right. Not only that, but the thing is, you have a name of another celebrity, and people probably often mix it up, right, for you. Seth Meyers, he's on Late Night right now.
Oh, right.
I know he used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to hear something funny about that? So we're almost exactly the same age.
Uh-huh.
Both from Ohio.
Really?
Lots of similarities, yeah. Oh, I wish he didn't have my name, though.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Are you older or younger than him?
I think we're both born in November of the same year.
That's weird.
Both 45.
Really? Yeah. Oh, very interesting. You're going to have to talk closer to the mic.
Sure.
Yeah. So we can hear you very well and nice and full. There you go.
All right.
Okay, that's good. So, you're a psychologist, a clinical psychologist.
Yes.
And what is it that you do exactly in your day-to-day?
Sure. So I'm a clinical psychologist, and then I also write articles for eHarmony's popular advice blog. So eHarmony has a blog where they have writers try to give men and women ideas on how to successfully find a relationship, you know?
Right.
Not just any old date, but actually how to find a relationship that sticks. So
right.
I write articles that try to help people go deeper, really figure themselves out, figure out not just what they want, but what they need.
Right.
I have a no more drama policy. So
a little bit of drama. Slow. Spice it up.
We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah, she could be the queen of drama, but relatively speaking, she's okay. So how long have you been writing for eHarmony's blog?
Gosh, about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have they been around? I mean, they were here. We had the CEO and his vice president here on the show. And I think he said, 20 years is it? eHarmony has been around?
Oh, yeah. eHarmony's been around for years. And, you know, one of the things that it's nice to work for a company that you actually believe in, you know?
Right.
You know, a lot of these dating services are heavy into swiping. And, you know, eHarmony actually understands that swiping does not lead to, you know, healthy long-term relationships necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it gives you leads, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you
but
never
I think
know
it gives you leads into
out.
Sex, not really leads into a relationship.
Well, if even that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's a time waster. And I think what it does in the long run is it makes people feel like, well, wait a minute. People are swiping on me, too. People are dismissing me in a split second, determining whether they could be happy with me or not, which, you know, really makes no sense.
Right. But you could do that on eHarmony too, though. It's not a swipe. It's just next.
Right, exactly. You know, but and we'll talk about that too. You know, because I don't know that it works for everybody. You know, and would you say the different age groups should probably use different sites and different apps?
Mm, right.
Sure. You know, there are always age variables, but you know, eHarmony is one of those dating services that has both younger adults and older adults. I think what makes it different is that I think it's a site that's really about people looking for a serious relationship.
Mm.
And actually, the desirability study that eHarmony commissioned with Harris Interactive got like a little over a thousand interviews with men and women to try to figure out what people find desirable in somebody else. And surprisingly, and this is good news for people looking for a relationship, 70% of people find desirable somebody who wants something serious. So that shows people are sick of swiping. People realize swiping doesn't work.
Right, you know? Right. That's true, right. Well,
I've never been a fan of the swiping, so I'm not an advocate for any
good,
of it.
Good for you.
Right. And from what you're seeing, at least from her age group, she sees a lot of like sex resulting from those apps more than anything else, right?
Yeah, there's
like
a lot of Tinder pigs on those apps.
Right.
Like even on Bumble, when a female has to write first, Like, right. As soon as you write, it's like they just go straight into degrading comments. Like, I would say when I had Bumble for a week, and I would say 70% of the men that I approached first would immediately comment on my ass.
Why?
Like, right off the jump. Not a hello.
Are you trying to promote that, Danny?
No, it's just there. What do you want me to do about it?
Then don't put up a picture with your ass in it.
But, you know, it's just like in a dress or something, and they're like, yo, so, like, but what's up with that ass?
Pick another picture then. Do like a straight on picture, unless you want to show it, and then don't complain if they say something.
Well, they shouldn't be saying that, Sam. What the fuck?
No, they shouldn't. But yeah. If you put it out there, you know, maybe.
Like, how creepy do you have to be on the first conversation to lead in with my ass?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
No, that's
like, shame on
true.
Them. I don't care what picture I post. Who are you to say anything about it?
Yeah.
That's inappropriate.
What is?
That they think that it's okay.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Of course.
This isn't a porn
site. I'm just saying you can avoid it by just changing the picture.
So basically, don't be yourself because men
are
creeps.
No, that's not true. But no, it's actually good that you're showing your body and stuff, because don't you think in the profiles, people also want to see the body, you know? When people only put on like headshots, I'm like, what are they hiding? What do you think?
Or if guys are always wearing hats, I feel like they're balding.
Looks are important, right?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely appearance does matter, right? But you know, what the eHarmony research found is that it's actually not even the number one or number two most desirable factor. You know,
really,
actually,
like the looks.
That's right. That's right. In fact, right. If you look at the top five sort of personality characteristics that people find desirable, number one came in honesty. Right. You know, next, kindness, sense of humor.
Right.
On an initial,
like if you're going on a website, no one's going to be like, this dude's really honest.
Not only that, but basing it off
their pictures.
Yeah, you go for the picture first.
And what if their profile's a lie? Like, I love hiking and go. I have 10 dogs, and then you meet him and he's like, oh yeah, I haven't hiked in 6 years. It's like.
Yeah, well, that's dishonest.
But, well, people, you know, what I think is important is that deep down, even though people are a little misguided, I think, in spending too much time looking in the wrong places for relationships, that deep down, people do know what they need. People do know what is going to be the glue to keep a relationship together. And that's somebody who shows up when they say they'll show up, somebody who actually listens, somebody who cares, you know. Right. It's really important for people to separate out what you want in your fantasy partner versus what you want in your reality partner, right? So everybody would love the cover model, right? But we know, you know, that that is not necessarily going to work 10 years from now. So I always say this, you know, you are going to be sitting across. If this relationship is going to work, you're going to be sitting across the dinner table from that person for so many dinners. You better like what they have to say.
Yeah, see, we actually talked about this last night on my podcast, because she was like, what are your top three deal breakers? And she's like, what's your number one seal the deal? And I was like, if he can make me laugh. Like, he might have, like, he might not be the best looking, because if you look at my roster, I've been with some ugly, like, not ugly, but, like, not the cutest guys, but they could hold a conversation and make me laugh.
Laughter the most important? Because I'll tell you why. I'm not surprised you said that.
Right.
Because just about every woman says that. Oh, he makes me laugh. I want someone who makes me laugh. Why is that?
Because why would you want a life with no laughter?
No,
that's
but,
like not a life at all.
No, I'm not saying there doesn't have to be laughter, but it doesn't have to be the first criteria.
Oh, absolutely. 110%. That's mine, at least.
Well, and it's so funny because actually the research showed there's a difference between men and women in exactly that. There's a few differences between men and women. One is women value sense of humor a little more in men.
Yeah.
Men, you can guess a couple of things that they find desirable more than women.
Well, obviously looks.
You tell me, Danny.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say top three for men. This is just like from like a poll or something, right? I would say looks for sure. Body. Mm-hmm. Well, looks and body are like the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I would say financially stable.
What, for a woman?
For men.
Oh,
that
for
they
men,
want the female
yeah.
to be financially stable.
No, I think it's the other way around. The women look for financial stability in a man.
Well, 110%, but I think men are kind of looking for that now.
Really?
I don't think men want to date people that they have to babysit anymore.
Really? What do you think?
I'm just guessing. Yeah, I may be wrong.
Right. Well, you know, so this research showed that men value more than women someone who has a high sex drive.
Right.
And do value appearance more. And we kind of know that. You
right.
know?
Right.
Overall, the study is really reassuring because it says even with those differences, still more people are looking for a serious relationship.
Right.
More people value what I call the emotional characteristics.
Right.
My advice to women, knowing that men value physical attractiveness more, if you're a woman and you don't feel that your main selling point is, you know, your physical appearance, really promote the parts of you that you are proud of, that you do feel like are desirable, you know?
Right.
For example, some interesting findings in the study were about a third of people, and not much of a difference between men and women, value somebody who likes to cook,
who likes to
bake, right? Uh-huh.
So bake, not so much.
If you love to cook, whether you're a man or a woman, promote that in your profile. Say that.
Right.
God, there's nothing more nurturing than saying to somebody, let me cook for you.
Right.
You know, let me make something for you.
Right. Like, I just hung out with a guy recently, and he whipped something up in the kitchen, and I got to say, I was highly impressed.
Yeah?
Because most men are like, where do you want to go eat? I'm like, why can't we stay in? Why can't you make something?
Yeah, that's true. Because they just want to go get you into bed, you know? That's,
oh, my God.
That's pretty much, I mean, it's a sad truth, but that's what happens.
Oh,
you know?
God, there's no hope.
No.
There's none.
The men want the boobies, first of all. Men will see what's going on. You
they don't want to see the
everything
talk.
Else.
You but know, you know, in the end, though, men and women will have more luck dating, will have more luck in relationships if they focus more on cultivating themselves, developing themselves. There are things they can control. How many hobbies do you have? What are your interests? What are your passions?
Right.
You know? These are the things that really matter. You know, another one of the findings that I liked in the study is about a quarter of people find desirable in somebody else, somebody who likes to go out and listen to live music.
Right.
You know, what's your problem with that, Danny?
I just feel like
I'm out with someone, I don't want to be, like, I won't be even able to talk to you over loud music.
Yeah.
Maybe if we've been in a relationship for like over a year or something.
But the point is, if that's something, so that's not for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to set you up with some cooking classes later, so at least we get that set
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And baking maybe too.
Yeah, I don't know how to bake.
I know.
I'm a terrible baker, but I love to cook.
But the things that you do, like, you know, because we can't necessarily control totally our appearance, there are things we can't control. So really don't be shy about letting people know, this is me. These are the things that I like. This is my sensibility. I love live music, or I love a night in. You know, another finding I liked in this study, and it's kind of surprising, millennials, actually about a quarter of them prefer a night in with a prospective date, you know, Netflix and dinner in, as opposed to, you know, being out in a bar. That's great. That tells me people, what they're really looking for, again, because the swiping, I don't believe, works.
Right.
They're really looking for connection. They're looking for substance. They're looking for the best friend that they're also attracted to.
But that's not the first
date,
though, right?
I've been on first dates where it's just, I mean, I won't necessarily sleep with them, but like, first date.
But
like,
you'll go to somebody's house and you don't know?
Yeah. I won't give them my address or anything. I'll Uber myself there.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So, yeah, but like wine, dinner, like talking.
But you're very vulnerable going to somebody you don't know.
I'm not a...
Probably should have at least talked to him for a while before you went there, right? You don't mean like... We just swipe today.
So I'm going to
I don't go through apps. So I meet the person organically
always.
That's true. Danny, I'm going to need a little more time with you after the show than I thought.
Yeah.
But listen, no, really, this is not a joke. You know, to women out there, I'm not a big believer of inviting dates into your home when you really don't know
not
somebody.
Not for a woman, no. But you can go to the man's house.
Yeah, but
I'll burn that shit to the ground.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. The first time I would want to meet him in public.
See, I wouldn't mind. Don't get me wrong. I do like the whole wining and dining situation. I mean, any girl would. Like when a guy takes you out to a nice restaurant, opens the car door for you, it's great. But I feel like in the beginning, or at least like the first couple of times, I would like to be in a close setting, just me and him, so I could really have a conversation.
My advice, because the reality is, you know, women are much more likely to be the victims of various types of assaults.
Right.
If you want a quiet environment, go to a quiet public place. You know, maybe a loud restaurant is
ladies,
for you.
Yeah, ladies, don't listen to me.
Go for a walk.
Exactly. Don't take her advice at all, man. She'll get you in trouble. Yeah, because she does this shit.
I literally just hung out with someone like, 3 weeks ago? And it was just like that same.
She does
it. I did it through Instagram DM. And I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, come over. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, so she went over, but that's dangerous.
Yeah, but not really, because he's in the limelight, so I could like ruin your life if you ever try anything.
What is his first and last last name, please?
I almost just said it, too. I'm so glad I did.
I know. You always burp.
I always
burp.
Yeah,
right?
I do, yeah.
You got to be careful.
I do, God.
So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Seth Myers. He's joining us in the studio. And clinical psychologist, parenting and relationship expert. We'll get to that, too. But let's stay with the dating for now.
Yeah.
So now, do they have any kind of success rate or anything like that at eHarmony that they advertise? I mean, does anybody know what the percentages of people that are on there that actually connect with someone long term?
Well, that's a great question. I can't give you a specific statistic offhand,
right.
But I can tell you that any dating service like eHarmony that's lasted for as many years as it has,
right.
Does have results.
Right, yeah, it must, because it wouldn't...
Well, maybe for some people, it doesn't always work.
Well,
know?
Sure. But, yeah. You know, the point, though, I think, is differentiating between a dating site that's geared towards hookups versus a dating site that is geared towards people looking for serious relationships. And again, 70%, this research shows 70% of people, what they want is somebody who is looking for a serious relationship.
Right.
Well, not so something casual.
I understand, but you know what? They also want people that look good, and I haven't really seen that many...
You're very judgmental, though.
Like, no, I'm not, really.
Sam has shown me pictures of women that have liked him, and he's like, ugh, no. And I'm like, it's really not that
no,
bad.
No, come on, but I'm telling you. It's like on some sites, it's bad. Okay, I don't want to badmouth anybody. But, you know, I mean, the thing is...
You're picky.
I mean, look, everybody
looks at
looks.
I get it. I'm picky,
looks.
Too. I'm
everybody
picky
looks
too.
At, everybody consider looks at least the foot in the door. In other words, you have to qualify to be eligible in my world if at least I like how you look. You don't have to be beautiful, but I have to like the way you look. Mm.
But remember, attraction can grow over time.
Right.
And you know... One of the things that I also think is important is, you know, look at your friendships. Look at the decisions you make about who you seek out for friends, right? Now, those people you seek out because they make you laugh, because they've got your back. Because they're, you know, it's natural.
You just have a good time.
It's
easy. Yeah, you vibe out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So why are people making decisions so differently with their romantic partners?
It has to do with physical attraction.
And that's why so many relationships end, Sam. No. So enough. Let's stop. Let's say enough with this
bullshit.
This obsession.
No,
with
but I'm saying, but this is a starter. You know what I'm saying? It's
but I've met men that have been really attractive, and then when I sit down with them, hell no.
Absolutely.
Never going out with you ever again.
But let me ask you something. If you did not like the way the person looked, would you still pursue it with them?
No.
Okay, so there
it,
you go.
It messes me being straight up honest.
So let's be honest about it.
Well, listen, I am.
But I've also dated guys in the beginning that I wasn't like, oh, wow, he's like really good looking. But then after like maybe 2-3 dinners, I'm like, oh, I really like him.
Right. But I think there's a lot of definitely I don't like the way they look.
Well, listen, guys. I think you're going to say this is agree with me that this is true. People who you think who are gorgeous at the beginning, you see them as less gorgeous over time.
That's true.
People who you don't think are gorgeous in the beginning, you see as more attractive over time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so
very true.
Isn't that weird?
And for me, I feel like I look like shit right now, but when I get dolled up, I look really nice. And I feel like in the beginning, men literally will do anything I ask for. And then over a certain amount of time, they just start treating me like shit. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah. But that's something else. That's because you make yourself too available, I think, to them early on. But that's another thing altogether.
Yeah. What's that all about? Why do men not like that?
Men not like what exactly?
Okay. So like, for instance, if you're very honest, like, okay, I'm hooking up with you and nobody else, like I'm giving this a shot. And he's like, oh, well, I'm not ready yet. Okay, well, you're not ready, but I'm not going to be hooking up with anybody else while I'm hooking up with you. That, like, scares them, and they're like, I can't do this.
Right.
Well, listen, you know, why should anybody be asking people to sign contracts too early? You know, first
that's
month
me.
Or
I'm
so.
Like, what's up? What are we?
Exactly.
And maybe that's why things might not be working, Danny.
Yeah.
No, but you know, but the first month or so of dating, it should be about like an extended interview, trying to figure out, you know, don't listen so much to their words, what they say. Watch their behaviors. Do they show up when they say they'll show up? You know, in the whole honesty department, that is the number one thing people find appealing. An example of that would be to tell people honestly whether you are looking for something serious or casual. Don't just say what people
want you to hear.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So if you, let's say for instance, if let's say two people are in a relationship with each other, but one of them is cheating. Is that person not happy, or is it just that they're compulsive and they just can't say no?
You mean why somebody cheats? Why people cheat?
Right.
People cheat at root because there is an unmet need. So the unmet need varies according to people. Now, for some people, they may cheat because they have an unmet need for maybe the relationship isn't meeting sexual needs. For other people, it may be attention. They just need more attention. For other people, it may be they don't have confidence. They're insecure. So that makes them feel more powerful, more wanted. You know, try therapy, ladies and gentlemen. It really helps. Not just therapy.
Hey,
you know,
cheaters, try therapy.
Go online and read articles. Read eHarmony's advice blog about how to make things better. It is totally possible. You know, life is short. We have one life we know about.
Do you think that someone could be in love with the person they're with if they are cheating? I don't think they can be. We talked about this last night. I said no.
But for us, we wouldn't take them back. But some people do, right?
But I'm saying if you cheated, like practice. Say you were in a relationship, Sam, and yes. You cheated on her.
Right.
I don't think that you're in love with the person you're with because you wouldn't be cheating on
no,
her.
No, I would never.
Knowing that would like crush them into 1,000 right. pieces, you would never do that to someone you were in love with.
Yeah, you know, my view has always been if you're not good with somebody anymore, let them go first, then get into another relationship. But what you're trying to do is keep that person in your life and have an affair
on
the side. And I think that's pathetic to me.
Tell me if this is wrong, right? Let's say a guy's in a relationship and he meets somebody and he like hooks up with her, okay? And then he like lets her know, like, listen, I'm in a relationship, but I kind of still want to see you on the side. I feel like that's him being like, I'm in this relationship, but now I'm confused and now I don't know what I want.
Right.
Which I think at the end of the day, if you're in the beginning of dating, when you're not signing a contract, is kind of okay, no? Because you guys are basically being hypocrites if you're not agreeing with me right now. Because in the beginning of the relationship, I'm like, what's up? What are we?
Again, the first month, just focus.
What if it's 6 months? What if he's been with someone for 6 months or so?
Well, listen, in the beginning, you just want to focus on hanging out with a person.
Right.
How natural does it feel with this person?
Right.
You know, a lot of people will tell you who've been in long-term relationships that from the beginning, they just felt natural with this person. It was easy. There was no drama.
Right.
You know, that's what really matters.
Right.
You
know? Right.
There's another thing that I think is really cool about the research that we went over. And that is that one of the things that people find desirable is beyond the personality characteristics, beyond honesty, kindness, all that stuff, professions matter. And not in the way you'd think, not just necessarily somebody who makes a ton of money, but caring professions. People find that very desirable, both men and women.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean? Like if you're a nurse?
We're talking about nurses. We're talking about doctors. We're talking about veterinarians.
Really? We're out, Sam.
I would want firefighters. Any of those, though. I don't want any of those.
Me neither. He's never home.
How could you not want someone? Because see, those people are more nurturing.
Right, but
I don't know.
Life,
but after watching like
listen,
the resident and stuff, doctors be sketching me out, man.
Yeah, their life is intense.
Not
come
you.
On. No, I mean as doctors and nurses, you see people die, you see people suffering,
and then you bring that sadness and that pain.
Yeah,
home.
But you know what, guys? Intense, people in those professions, to get to that profession, you had to be disciplined. You had to be committed.
Absolutely.
Hey, what do you need in
what
a successful romantic relationship?
Right.
Discipline and commitment.
Right.
Right.
What about like a profession that's like they're like a superstar, like they're a singer or an actor
about
or something? Is that like a bad profession to date?
So
like, what are the bad professions to date?
The ones where women throw themselves at them, you know?
Where there's so many options.
Well, I think the point is, you know, some people can manage a relationship with a famous basketball player, a singer, somebody who's, you know, a regular musician but who has to tour a lot. You know, not all musicians who are touring are rich and famous.
Right.
There's a lot of people in clubs playing at, you know, 50 people a night. It's about what do you need? You ask yourself, could I be comfortable and feel safe and secure with somebody who's gone a lot? Or do I need somebody who needs the security I do, which is we're home at night, we are together, you know?
Right.
That's the way to find a relationship, to ask yourself, what at root is my deepest sensibility? What do I need?
Right. That's why even if you meet a doctor and he's very, very rich, you may not like the life if he's not around very much.
I desire my own space.
Yeah.
Like I would actually appreciate someone who was like gone sometimes.
That's true. Yeah.
Like love you, see when you get back. But I also have trust issues, so I'd be like, why don't you answer your call when I called you?
Well, I was in surgery and I was delivering a baby.
Oh man, I'm gonna be single for life, I swear. I sabotage all my relationships right when I've come to the conclusion that I just can't handle peace. Like when something's really, really good, I'm like, this is too
really
good.
You sabotage it?
All of my relationships.
Really?
When I talk to my dad will call me and say, so how'd you fuck this one up? That's all he says.
Really?
Yeah.
But that just means, you know, maybe right now you're not quite ready to settle down. You know, listen, I
feel like I am.
She feels like she
is.
Yeah,
I've been talking about this for years.
But your behavior shows something else.
I know.
Your actions are showing you're actually going for these one-night stands.
It's only because I just had my first one-night stand and now he's throwing it against me. It's my first one, Sam.
Okay, so first weekend stand.
Oh, yeah. I had a weekend stand and a one-night stand.
Exactly, you know?
But
I'm not making it up.
Starting from the new year, those are the only two people I hooked up with. No emotional connection. But the thing is, I had an emotional connection with both.
Right.
The one-night stand, I would say, the minute I walked into his house, it's like we've known each other for 20 years. Right. The connection was undeniable.
So, Danny, with you, what do you find is most desirable in
a man?
What do you find? You said sense of humor. What else are the most important things you're looking for?
I would definitely say I want him to have like a job and a career. So if I got
lots of people do.
Yeah.
What else? Let's go deeper.
That's true, right? Everybody wants that.
I just want someone who has compassion.
Yeah.
And like is understands that everyone is kind of fucked up.
And what about, I mean, isn't it important to know that they think, I mean, that they like you, they want to be with you, you
that's
know?
Right.
I feel like it takes,
at least for me, I feel like it takes quite some time to know if I fall under, I hate to say this and be blunt, but I think I fall under like dick spell. Where I think I'm in love with them, but I just I go really long periods of time without having sex. So when I finally start having sex, I feel like I'm in love with them, and I'm really not. I'm just like obsessed with the fact that I'm getting some on a regular basis.
Do you think though? I mean, I don't know you. Is it possible maybe you are focusing too much on physical attraction? Are these? It sounds like you're always very physically attracted to them in the beginning.
So listen. Yep.
You want to be attracted, but sometimes it's a warning sign if you're too attracted.
Really?
What do you mean
by
that? Like, what's too attracted?
What does it mean?
Well, sometimes if you feel so attracted that it's like extreme lust. Sometimes that reflects an underlying fear that you better consume them quickly because before I know it, they will slip between my fingers.
Yeah. Oh my God! Exactly.
Because I mean, you have said things about the fact that you want to be, I mean, you want that from them, you know, and you're not getting it.
No.
But listen, guys, what everybody wants, men, women, really, underneath it all, if we're really honest with ourselves, is we want somebody that when we're with them and being in a relationship with them makes us feel safe. Makes us feel secure. We don't feel paranoid, obsessive. We're not afraid they're cheating. We have a real connection. There is substance. There is glue. You like what the two of you have to say.
Right.
You know? But I feel like you can have that with someone and still fear that they're not doing you correctly.
Right.
Like I've met people where I've had, like my weekend stand, I flew to Chicago and I hung out with this guy. Felt really safe with him. I told Sam, I was like, if I ever want to be in a relationship, this is how I would want a man to treat me. But I knew it was never going to be more than that weekend when I got on the plane. Not because of me, but because of him. He was like really in love with his ex still. Right. They talked about her all weekend.
So then why did you get on the plane to begin with?
I didn't know it was going to be like that. He didn't start talking about his ex until I got there. No, and I'm a very laid-back chick.
But even before that, you knew you weren't building up your hopes
and
why it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I just wanted to have fun.
Well, right. And also, why do you have to get on a plane? Aren't there millions of men right here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, and I'm,
So my point, though, is sometimes we seek out people that because of these major differences, like 2,000 miles apart, we know it's not going to actually be able to materialize anyway. So sometimes that's a reflection of a fear of intimacy. You know, I think, Danny, maybe even though you feel ready for a relationship, maybe in time you will be there, but maybe
I'm 31. I need to be ready now.
It's not that old. 31.
Yeah. Right. You know? Keep telling her that, but she says she's old. But let's say it is time for you and you feel under pressure, but still don't settle for just anybody.
Yo, I'm 31 and I've never been in love with somebody. Ever in life.
Yeah. So what do you have to say to that, Dr. Seth?
I think it's probably about fear.
I've loved people. But I've never looked at someone and said, hey, if we broke up tomorrow, we stopped talking, my life was going to be over.
Right.
Like, I've cried for people.
So she wasn't invested that much in the relationship, huh, would you say?
Honestly, I've cried for people. Like, I dated this guy for, 3 months out here?
Right.
And I literally even told him, I think I'm just in love with having sex with you. And then we stopped talking and I cried myself to sleep for like a month. Then I met somebody new who was hotter and like had more money and I had better conversation. And I completely forgot about him. Like he never even existed in my life. And that's just how it is for me.
Right.
Like I think I obsessed with the fact that it's my ego maybe.
Right. But that's obviously, if you were in love with him, it would be a major relationship in your life.
Yeah. And I've never had one.
Yeah.
And what too, you know, like for example, I'm thinking with you, Danny, one of the pieces of advice I would give you is to think about the ways that you spend time with people. Like, are you actually doing like hobbies together? Are you going out and having dinners? Mm-hmm. You know, a third of people, by the way, find desirable in somebody else someone who loves to go out and have dinner.
I love going out to dinner, so that's good.
Yeah, with them. But you know, there's other hobbies too. You know, a third of people are looking for somebody, find desirable somebody who has a dog.
Yeah,
that reflects
true.
You know, so yeah. Are you attracted to guys with dogs?
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
You see, with me, every picture with a dog, swipe left. You know, it's like, I don't want to share your life with an animal.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're like low-key a serial killer for sure.
Oh yeah. Thank you very much. I love dogs, but I don't want them to be part of, because I can't live with dogs. I love when they're other people's. Yeah.
Okay.
But I like when they're other people's.
I love dogs. I hope he has 5 dogs.
Okay. All right.
And we can all share the bed together too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hell yeah. Care? No, I mean, I like to go out to eat. Like, I would say in Chicago for the weekend, we went out to eat. We partied. We went to a jazz club, live music.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was a great weekend. When I dated the guy for a couple of months, we did Malibu wine farms, comedy shows. Like, we were going on dates.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, I never felt safe with him. Like, I just was waiting for him to be like.
So you didn't make yourself vulnerable too much.
No, I opened up probably too fast, and he told me you need to slow your roll.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, if you didn't rush to the end, I would be with you, but you're already trying to be at the end.
I would find somebody that likes to do, not just going out to eat, but the kinds of things. Like, what are your passions and your interests?
Like TV, being on the radio.
Okay, you need to develop some passions, hobbies, and interests.
You're already doing that.
Animals.
But
movies,
you guys,
going
though,
to the movies.
But that's the way, that's the glue that ultimately holds two people together. You know, it's a man and woman who both love bird watching or who both love live music.
So it's not opposite to track then. So that's bullshit.
Sometimes. But you need to have some shared activities. Right. What else are you going to be doing together?
Right. Not only that, but I think shared backgrounds is sometimes important too.
What do you mean by backgrounds?
Let me tell you something. If you come from a totally different culture, it's going to create challenges in the relationship. Mm. Wouldn't you say?
It can. If the cultural backgrounds are too different, it can cause conflict. But if everybody approaches relationships saying, you know what, my number one rule with myself is I'm going to be open and flexible about relationships. I'm going to try. I'm going to give types of people that normally I would think, I don't know if I could picture myself ending up with them. I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to be open and flexible. And I'm going to value a decent person, a kind person, an honest person. I'm going to value that more than how hot they are.
right?
You know, what a trophy they are when we go to parties. Because you know what, sadly, you know, with people age, they might not look like the trophy they looked like when they were 25.
Right. Yeah, it's like, who cares about
Nobody does.
Yeah.
But listen, the last few minutes, I want to talk to Dr. Seth about parenting. So you specialize in that too, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your practice. What is it that you do? Do people come to you and you help them one-on-one?
Yes, exactly. So I work with people one-on-one, and I'm trained in some parenting practices, triple P, positive parenting, child parent psychotherapy, different ways to improve the relationship between parents and their kids.
Right.
That's the foundation, you know. When you look at adults who struggle in their romantic relationships, what can we infer about their family relationships?
Right.
I'm asking. What do you think?
Well, I feel like for me, okay, for instance, like, I've noticed about myself that if I know I'm in a really bad situation, I just stick it out, and I'm just sticking it out, even though I'm miserable. And I realize I watched my mom do that with my dad, and he was a serial cheater. And I feel like my trust issues also come from the fact that my dad would sit up in the crib, smile in everyone's faces right after he was just hanging out with someone else who wasn't my mom. So I'm just waiting for every guy to do that to me,
so,
too.
Right. So you didn't have a great parent.
A great
marital relationship modeled for you and your parents, right?
They were great parents. They were just horrible together. And they didn't realize how terrible it was for us to watch that.
Well, and you know, Danny, you're not alone. A lot of people. So I believe people who have a hard time finding a romantic relationship, one that sticks, it's because there were certain things missing in the home that they grew up in.
Right.
So do, as adults, let's do what we can to repair those issues. Just because we maybe come from messed up families or we watched our mom or dad cheat, we can get stuck reenacting that in our adult lives with our own romantic relationships, but we don't have to let it be that way. We can do things like read articles about how to change. We can go to therapy.
But do you think even if you read an article or go to therapy and like it could feel like it's working, and then you're just like in a month or two, you're just like back to doing what you were doing before.
So the key is, as people change, as people, like, for example, one of the things that often happens is that what I'll give an example of women feeling like, so-and-so, this guy, he's too nice. Some people actually, it's a little threatening or scary to have a guy really seek them out, really want them, want that commitment.
Yeah, I find it to be annoying.
It can be very threatening because... Right. You know, if you're not used to everything being good and consistent and nice, you feel like a fish out of water in a relationship. So here's an example of how to be honest in your dating relationships. If intimacy is hard for you, if it's a little scary, say it. Say something like, you know, I really want a serious relationship. You know, it makes me nervous. So if I sometimes have freakouts, I'll be honest with you and I'll tell you. And if we're going to really last, we won't get defensive. We'll work with each other. We'll support each other through our emotional issues.
Yeah, which I think would be a great relationship, but I feel like a lot of men have issues with females being honest. Because I'm very honest. I'll tell people I've never been in love.
Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll
maybe
tell
don't disclose that. Why do you have to disclose
first day.
That? To me, it feels
she discloses
like
a lot.
Well, listen, if I were on a date with you, I'd say this is a big keep out sign. Why are you telling me that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's
but maybe you need to sit with those feelings more and say, I have my own emotional struggles I'm working on. I'm going to try to become the best girlfriend I possibly can to somebody.
Yeah, but when do you actually get called a girlfriend? Like, at what point does that happen? Like, when are you just not like hooking up or hanging out? Like, when are you actually like,
I think
okay,
it's pretty much understood maybe once you start having sex or something.
No, because people just have sex to be having sex.
Well, but that's not a relationship, you
know? But that is a relationship.
I think a couple months in, two, 3 months in is a good point. Again, if there's no drama, to say, you know, okay, now we can commit. But really, in the beginning, there's nothing wrong with, you know, with actually dating. You know, back in the old days, our grandparents, would all say, we used to date. You'd go out with so-and-so on Saturday, maybe the next weekend. You're getting to know people. You're trying to figure out who's a good fit.
Right.
What happens is so many people, they try to lock it down too soon.
That's me. And I don't know why I do that, because I don't even know if I want to be with you. But for me, it's like, no, it's me and just me, nobody else. What are we doing here?
Right.
And the guy John that I dated would be like, you're rushing to the end. Why are you rushing
to the end? I would tell
you,
before you tell a guy like exactly explicitly how he needs to be yeah. to fit your mold, I would say go out on 4 to 6 dates right. and just kind of feel him out. Try to get a sense of, watch his behaviors. Is he reliable? Is he honest? Does he treat women well? Does he ask me a lot of questions about myself? Is he curious about my life? Is he nurturing?
Oh God,
is this guy
I've never
caretaker?
Even thought of that.
Right, right.
I've never even paid attention to that.
Well, you've got a lot to think about after today's show, Danny. In the last few minutes, I wanted to ask you about parenting. What would you say are the ages? I mean, I think maybe it's pretty clear, but at what ages do parents have the most problems with kids? Is it during their mid-teens, would you say?
Boy, that's a good question. I would say most...
We only ask good questions on this show.
Right?
We don't have time to wait.
Sam, they're the only ones I answer.
we don't have time for stupid questions.
I think that most parents would tell you that the teenage years are the most difficult, that those are the most challenging.
Right.
But every kid is different. You know, what parents should know about teenage kids is you actually want a little bit of rebellion. You know, even though you don't like it, you don't like your kid occasionally talking back, you know, at some point this kid's going to be a 20-year-old out there in the world, and you want them to have thick skin.
Right.
You want them to stand up for what they believe in. So a little rebellion is actually healthy and good, as much as you might not like it.
Well, that's what my parents are probably like, you little rebellious bitch.
Yeah, you know, we've always been, I mean, I think my generation has been very overprotective of their kids and giving them everything they want, you know, and then they grow up and they can't deal with real life when you can't have what you want at that moment.
Yeah, that's actually an issue, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, your parents should prepare you for that.
That's what I'm saying, you know, but yeah. So, I'm just thinking of divorce is totally going to screw people up, but
yeah, we don't have enough time to talk about
exactly,
divorce.
Exactly, that's for another show.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back.
Dr.
Come
Seth
back in six
Myers.
Months. Me and Sam are still messed up. And still single.
And she still continues with her shit.
Yeah, but you read, take a look at eHarmony's advice blog. I mean, there's some good stuff, not just that I've written, but from other writers. I mean, I think if you take action and you make a commitment to change the parts of you that you know are interfering with your relationships, it's taking responsibility for our own parts.
Right.
That's what will make
I thought
the difference.
About going to sex, love, and addiction classes.
Hey, why not?
Because I don't know if I'm addicted to the idea of love or I'm addicted to like sex when I start having it.
Or I would just tell you, think about what is scary about an actual long-term, committed, peaceful, romantic relationship. That is scary for you.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Probably,
you're avoiding
yeah,
it.
Probably right. falling madly, deeply in love with someone and then them waking up one day and saying, I'm out of here.
Right, right. Well,
but if you focus on the right characteristics in the beginning, you might not have to have a split later. That's the thing. It's focusing on what are you focusing on? Let's learn from this study. Let's look for somebody who from the beginning wants a serious relationship. Let's focus on the honesty, the kindness, the sense of humor over how hot they are, how much money they make. Let's look for people in caretaking professions. Let's look for people that have shared hobbies and interests.
Let's look for people that have dogs.
It's just the way you view it is just going through life with fear. Mm. You know, you're afraid of what's going to happen. You're afraid they'll abandon you, and you have to think about that.
The
you know?
Self-fulfilling prophecy. The
right,
self-fulfilling
right.
prophecy.
All right, well, we have to go. Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to have sessions with you, also about the blogs. How can people read about the blogs? Where do they find them?
Yeah, so you can just do a quick online search for eHarmony's relationship advice blog, and that's the best way to find me, and I think that people would be surprised. You read a short article, you can pick up a little nugget that can totally cause
that's
a mental
true.
Click.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
And you seem to know what you're talking about. You
Thank
know,
you.
Otherwise, we would have come here to waste our time with but we totally appreciate you. You know,
thanks,
it was
Sam
a great
Danny.
Show. You're a great guest. More continued success to you. I'm going to check out the blogs. Any help we can get is a good thing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.